cross has the final word, everybody. Satan doesn't have the last say. Jesus did at the cross. Amen? He's got the final say. So listen, I want you to know this is the last teaching in our cross-examination series. And I want you to go call somebody or text somebody to listen to this teaching because, first of all, we're going to have communion together. That's the first thing. So get those emblems together. And if you don't have grape juice or, you know, the bread we normally have here at church, just get you some bread there at the house or crackers or get you some other kind of juice or water because it's an emblem of what Jesus did. But I want you to get that. And we're going to talk a little bit more understanding of what it really means when we have communion, what Jesus did on that cross. It's going to be powerful. But also, I told you Sunday that there are some prophetic things that I believe the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today regarding where we are and what God is getting ready to do for us. So I want you to get your Bibles ready. Come on, get your notepads ready. Gather the kids together. And I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. And I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation for a little bit of clarity. But I want you to look at these words. It's powerful. He says, "For you know that your lives were ransomed once and for all from the empty and futile way of life handed down from generation to generation." You feel that? That generation to generation, my mama was this way, my daddy was this way, his daddy was this way, this happened to my dad, now it's happened to me. He says, this is the way of sin. It's futile. He said, you were empty, handed down. But look what it says. It was not a ransom payment of silver and gold, which eventually perishes, but the precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb was sacrificed for us. Absolutely sinless. He lived the life we couldn't live and died the death we couldn't die. He said he liberated us from the empty, futile life of sin, and we break generational curses. Think about that. Break generational curses. You need to listen to this. This is why 1 Corinthians 5:7 says this. Christ, our Passover lamb, now underline that, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. What does all that mean as it relates to what he did on the cross? What is that saying? Not only when he did that, but what does it mean for you today? Especially in the times we're in these uncharted territories. And we're going, Pastor, what is it? The Holy Spirit's been speaking some things to me. And it relates to what happened at Passover. What does Passover mean? When did it happen? The first time. What was it pointing to? And what does it mean for you today? Here's the first thing I want you to see that I believe the Holy Spirit is saying. This is a total reset. This is a reset for the church. I mean, things are happening in ways we'd never dreamed. We're reaching more people than we've ever reached before, but it is a reset, not only for the church as a whole, but for you individually. And this was a reset for the people of Israel. Let me explain that for a moment. When we talk about Passover, you have to go back to when Israel was in bondage and slavery to Egypt for over 400 years. 400 years. Now, remember this. God originally sent his people to Egypt as a blessing because there was a great famine, and you know the story, that wiped out the whole lineage of Israel, and then all of a sudden, if that happens, you wipe out Jesus Christ's birth, you wipe out Jesus Christ's birth, you wipe out his death, you wipe out his resurrection. There's no Mel Gibson movie. Everything's gone, okay? It's all gone. But God had to turn the blessing he allowed his people to go into, he had to turn it into a bondage because God's people were too dependent on Egypt. And God wanted them in a promised land where his blessing would flow, where they would actually trust him instead of the world system. Now, let me tell you why they're there. The reason they're there is they were originally God's covenant people. They still are God's covenant people, and so were we because of Jesus Christ. So when that means when God says, I want to be in covenant with you, it's like when a man marries a woman, he's going to take care of her. He says, here's what I want to be. I want to be God, your only source, not like any other nations. I want to be your king. I want to be your provider. That means I'm going to be your joy. I'm going to be your deliverance. I'm going to be your salvation. I'm going to be your healer. But here they are, 400 years of slavery, folks. Now think about this. This is passed on from generation to generation to generation. Fathers watched their own sons be beat like an animal and couldn't defend them. They didn't get any pay for 400 years. They stole their money. made them slaves, and what was once the blessing, God had to turn to a bondage because he says, you are not getting to where I want you to be with absolute trust for me, so I'm going to let you live, and I'm going to make you let the world think that they're your provider and see how that goes for you. And they broke covenant with God. So now because of the broken covenant, they lost their joy, they'd lost their provision because they lost the provider, they left relationship with God, and now they're stuck in this slavery. Now, I'm going to tell you, that is a historical fact that happened in history, historical fact. But I'm telling you, there's something prophetic. I believe God is speaking to us here as we're talking about Good Friday, something prophetic, because here's what I believe. I believe there's some of us who've depended on the world too much, even depended on the church and preachers too much. And God is saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you see what it's like to lose your joy, lose your provision, lose your relationship. But he says, here's what I want to do. I'm going to restore to you when you start resetting your relationship with me. He told Israel, I'm going to reset you after 400 years of slavery. I'm going to do something so uncommon. And you remember what I said? I said, this is the year of the uncommon. Man, we are living in the uncommon. But let me tell you what's happened. It's a reset for God to restore your joy because you've restored relationship with him. He's going to restore provision and he's going to do it. But here's what has to happen first. Listen to this carefully. You got to look at Exodus 3:9 because the Bible said God heard Israel finally crying out to him. Crying out to him. What were they doing? They were repenting and God heard them and said, I'm going to give you the reset. So listen closely to this. There's some of you that need a reset. Repentance precedes reset. And what God is calling the church to do, let's not say, well, it's that church and that church. And let's call the body of Christ. He's calling us, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. He's going to hear from him. He's going to heal the land. Listen to this. We've got to come to a place of repentance before there's a reset. Because we're looking to other things to try to fix it. Now listen, it's not just about your reset with your relationship with God. Here's what I believe he's wanting to do. I want some of you to just hone in on this. The dysfunction in your family that's happening right now, God says, are you ready to cry out to me and hear my voice and watch me reset your entire family and put it on the path of blessing and unity again? There are marriages right now. You're saying, Pastor, this is my third marriage. I don't know what's going wrong. I believe and I'm asking God to give you a total reset in your love for your husband, for your wife. I'm believing God's given a whole reset, not just to that, but some of you are on this career path where you're going, I'm just not satisfied. I've gone up the corporate ladder. I got a promotion. I even got a pay raise for crying out loud. But you're still not satisfied because no matter how much you get from God, you'll never be satisfied until you allow him to reset the relationship where he's the one that is your total source, your total joy. And that's the reason why things are happening right now. He said, but if you want to see the reset of something brand new, you got to get back in relationship with me. But first, you got to cry out to me. This is a time for you to cry out for your nation. This is the time to cry and say, God, forgive us. This is the time to not be pointing fingers at Republicans and Democrats. It's not the time to be pointing that it's time for us to say, God, would you forgive us as a nation? We are wrong. We repent right now. It's time to say to your husband, to your wife, Lord, forgive me, and would you forgive me? It's time for you to say to your parents, Mom and Dad, would you forgive me? Lord, forgive me, would you forgive me? And when you do, I'm telling you, he's going to answer our cry just like he did for those people, and there's going to be a divine reset. This is the year, 2020 is the year of reset for God to start bringing blessing. Now, let's go back to what this all means again, okay? Let me show you something. God gave them an instruction on how to reset the relationship, and here was their instruction to him, okay? So here's what he told them. Ready? Go to Exodus 12. Get your Bible out there, or you can read it on the screen there, but get this and take notes, okay? Exodus 12, verse 1. Now remember, this is 400 years of slavery. This was going to be uncommon. It had never been done before. Remember, I said this is the year of uncommon. It said, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel, not just a certain group, everybody. Tell all the people of God that on the 10th day of this month, underline this, each man is to take a lamb for his house, one for each household. He's telling leaders of homes. These were men then, but mom, you may be the one having to lead your home right now. You're raising kids by yourself. He said, bring the lamb into your house. Now I want you to go to verse 6. I want you to look at this. Verse 6, drop down. He said, take care of them, speaking of the lamb, until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Remember, they have never done this. This is so bizarre. But God said, this is a part of the reset. Now watch this. Then you are to take some of the blood, put it on the sides and the tops of the door frames of the houses where they, and circle this for right now, I'll come back and circle around, where they eat the lambs. I want you to circle that, because just a moment, we're going to partake of the bread, which was the body of Jesus Christ. Now go to verse 12. Watch this. He said, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Israel had trusted the system of the world, looked at it as its God, bowed before it, and God says, now you're bound before me and I'm going to be the Lord. And he says, in fact, let me tell you what I'm going to do. All this 400 years of slavery that the enemy's put on you, it's not just time for a reset, it's time for a retribution. I am going to even the score when you reset with me. Oh, that is so good. Go to verse 13. You ready for this? Now watch this. The blood. What? The blood of the lamb. The blood will be a sign for you on your houses where you are. Your house where you are. Look at this. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Do you know what that is? We still reflect on that communion by that Passover, but when we take communion. Now, let me just take you to this. Remember, when you look at the Old Testament, it's a picture of the product that is more powerful. It is a symbol of something greater that is to come. So just go back to me. Use your sanctified imagination with me, and let's go back to that very day. God says, I want every leader of the home, I want a man. He says, I want you to go and get a lamb and bring it into your house on the 10th day of the lamb. Now watch this. Dad literally brings the animal into the house on the 10th day of that month. Well, you know what happens when you bring animals into the house. You know exactly what happens. Listen, I'm not talking, listen, your kids get a mouse in the house. They don't want to kill it. They want to name it, okay? That's what they want to do. Dad was to bring the lamb into the house. Now watch this. The kids now get acquainted with the lamb because the leader of the home is bringing the lamb into their house and teaching his children how to get acquainted with the lamb. The kids touch it. The kids play with it. They have joy with it. Now you understand the scripture where it says when Jesus Christ come, he was the Word. It says we touched him, we beheld him, we knew his glory. See, God sent Jesus Christ because he was tired of all the religious folks messing up what Jesus was. So God said, I'm going to put on skin and I'm going to go down there and let them touch the hem of my garment. I'm going to let them laugh with me. I'm going to let them talk to me and show them what I want is them. And then guess what happened? They all had to go into their house and they had to stay in their homes when that death angel came over and passed over them because the blood was on the house. In other words, the family got quarantined into their homes. But it was responsible for the father. He says, if you want something new, you want a reset, you want to see me do something, it's time for you to bring the lamb into your house and get acquainted there. I love church. I love church. I love coming together. Can't wait to see y'all. I miss you bad. I miss you bad. I'm tired of talking to empty seats. Now, I love you guys. I love you. I love y'all. Thank you. But I'm just telling you something. Too many times we are looking to the church to fix our kids. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me during this season. There's a reason God is not wasting this time that we're in our homes. In other words, instead of expecting pastors to introduce your little lambs with the Lamb of God, it's time to bring the Lamb of God into your house and introduce your little lambs to the Lamb of God. How do I do that, Pastor? Right now you're doing it. When you're taking time to even go to church, when we're able to get together, you're showing them. When you're praying with them, You don't have to be a big fancy prayer. When they see you and your wife, even when there is a conflict between you, how you resolve it, how you bring peace with the Word of God, they're touching the Lamb, they're beholding the Lamb, they're seeing Jesus in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So here they are for 4 days, the 10th day, the Lamb, they're getting the kids acquainted with the Lamb, but on the 14th day, something's changing. There's something uncommon, there's a reset that's going to happen. And there's on the 14th day, there's an eerie presence throughout all the community of Israel. They know something is up. We cried out for this. Something's up. And so Dad gets an instruction from Moses that they're supposed to bring the lamb into the house, but they were to slaughter that lamb. They were doing something as a picture more powerful for today. Dad would bring the kids together, just like the priest would take his hand and place the hand upon the sacrificial lamb in the Old Testament before Jesus came. They were transferring the sins of the people onto the lamb. The daddy would take the hands of his kids and place it on that little lamb. And the kids are going, "No, daddy, we just named him. His name's Snowball. What are you doing, daddy?" Daddy starts showing them here's how you give your sins to the lamb. "Mom and dad, don't wait for the altar call to happen here. Let it happen right now on the kitchen table. Let it happen there in the home, whether you're tucking them into bed. Talk to them about giving their life to Jesus Christ. Do it right there. Don't wait for the church. Do it right there. There will be revival." See, the revival's not just going to happen in some big building. It's going to happen right in your house. There's a reset happening. Then that daddy would say, "Okay, kids, Snowball's here for a reason. We're following what God said. We're getting back in relationship with God." And the kid said, "Daddy, what are you doing? What are you doing?" And then he'd take little Snowball, and then he'd pull back the fur from the jugular of that little lamb. And with his knife, he would take one clean slice. And in that one moment, the blood of that little lamb would pour out. And Dad would say to Mom, "Mom, get all that blood, because the blood, they told us, would be the sign that the death angel has to pass over this home. Mama, get all the blood." And Mom was shaking hands, get the blood. The kids are going, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And little Snowball would go limp, and he would just fall to the ground. Then the Bible said that they were instructed to go take hyssop and begin to apply the blood with hyssop. The thing about hyssop is hyssop usually grew out of the foundations of their home. Hyssop was the picture of the Word of God. God wanted him to do is show him the picture that you take the Word of God to apply the blood of the Lamb. Are you hearing this? When you start talking the Word of God, when you start telling your kids the Word of God, you are applying the blood of Jesus by the hyssop of the Word of God that comes from the foundation of your faith. Then as he applied the blood over that house, Daddy would then say, "Okay, everybody get in the house. Get in the house." Now, what's the deal with the house? Because when you were in the house where the blood was over the house, the death angel could not enter into that home. So Daddy would say, "Everybody get in the house." The leader of the house would say, "Get in the house. Jochebed, are you in the house? Naomi, are you in the house? Elizabeth, are you in the house?" And they all yell back, "We're in the house." Why? Because when you stayed quarantined in that house where the blood was, you were protected. Can I tell you, it's time for us to start putting the blood of Jesus over our house. And I'm going to speak to some young people. I'm telling you, when you're sitting there going, "Well, I don't know much about church. I don't know if it's the real deal. I don't know if it's phony or fake." Listen, don't follow me. Don't follow your parents. Follow Jesus Christ. And anything that looks like Jesus in it, follow that. But I'm telling you, stay in the house of faith. Stay in the presence of God. They didn't know what they were doing. But that daddy walked in that house and shut that door behind him. And I just, in my sanctified imagination, he didn't have a clue. They were just doing something uncommon. It was a reset. And the father said there, "The lamb has been slain. His blood has been shed. It's finished. We're out of here. After 400 years of being beat by our enemies, like slaves. My family's been taken. My money's been taken. My relationship with God is taken. But we're out of here. It is finished. They're coming out of that bondage." They didn't have a clue what they were doing. But listen to this. It was a divine picture of what Jesus did on the cross when you examine it. That's why Jesus Christ came as that sinless, spotless lamb that dwelt in the house of this earth, that we could know him, touch him, and behold him. And then when they took him and they stretched him wide and they slaughtered him on the cross, as the blood flowed from his side like it did that little lamb, it was a super lamb, Jesus Christ, that was on the cross. And he said from that cross, "It is finished. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? He didn't say, I'm finished. He said, it is finished. No more slavery for the people of God. They're coming out free. They're going to be restored in relationship with God. Come on, your joy's coming back. Your peace is coming back. There's a reset with the Holy God. Jesus did the reset for us with the Holy God. That's why Ephesians 2:13 says this, is, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. They were distant from God, but through that little lamb, they were brought back to God, a reset. Can I tell you, Jesus, we were far from him, but Jesus set the reset button with his blood, and when we accepted him, we're in the presence of the Holy God, and he's not only fixing us our relationship with him, he's fixing it with people in your family and others. This is a time of divine reset as you take communion. Here's the second thing the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. This is not only a time of divine reset, this is a time of reparation. I know so many of you are going, we've lost so much, the economy, we've lost so much. Let's push away from the economy. Let's go to something bigger for a moment, the souls of people, the relationship with God. God said, I am paying attention to this. It is connected. Your relationship with me is connected to my ability to provide for you. And what he was saying is the enemy is going to pay back for everything he took from my people. He said, I told you that I would be Jehovah Jireh, your provider, but you have been looking at the corporate world. You can look to church, you can look to government as your provision. He says, I'm the only provision. And when God brought them out, 400 years of, listen, these people were in poverty for 400 years. But I want you to go see what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 105:37, and I want you to see what he said. Watch this, when God brought them out, watch this. God freed all the Hebrews, this is talking about their slavery. God freed all the Hebrews from their slavery and sent them away laden with silver and gold of Egypt. Now that is going to make you shout. Listen to this for a minute. They had been ripped off for 400 years, and God says, you are going to be so loaded and blessed when you have made a reset. I pay attention to everything. Watch this. For 400 years, they beat their kids, took their money, and God made those arrogant Egyptian businessmen in that day pay back 400 years of back pay of slavery. God is sitting there thinking, you think you're getting away with something, Satan? Satan, do you think you're getting away? God had a huge calculator in heaven and is going, oh, no, 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 no. You're going to pay back every penny with interest. Read it. Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 11, Exodus chapter 12. God goes, tells him, so now go to these Egyptian business people and tell them to give you silver and gold. And guess what he did? He sent the women to go help get the money. Think about it. God sent the women in that culture. Women were demeaned. Not only were they slaves, but women were demeaned. They were doormats. God says, I'm going to use what you have demeaned and made a doormat, and not just send to the men. I'm going to go send women to you, arrogant Egyptian businessmen. I'm going to tell them, give me the silver and the gold. Oh, my, my, my. Now, see, guys, now you know why your wife's been running the finances in your house all these years. God's been having her in the training for the reigning. Now, just come on. I'm just telling you, this is what happened. This is what happened. Here these men took all their money. Watch this. God, listen, I'm trying to tell you something. A reparation is coming. God is not letting Satan get away with stuff. For the people who trust him. Don't trust money, not silver and gold, who trust him. So here now they're back in reset. And they go knock on the door. And here comes this, here's this Egyptian woman, and here's this Egyptian guy. He's got gold necklaces, gold earrings. He's got gold earpieces. They wear gold on their ankle. They wore it on their toes. They had it everywhere, in their nose. They had it everywhere. They had a gold everywhere, and they did it from the backs of these Egyptian people. And here comes this little Egyptian woman. She knocks on the door. All of a sudden, he opens up the door. He's getting ready to beat her, and the Spirit of God hits him. He goes, what do you want? What do you people want? And she goes, our God told us to come get our stuff. Oh, this is a beautiful home. Beautiful home. Oh, you have tapestries. We don't have tapestries in our mud huts. Spirit of God hits the Egyptian businessman and says, Butler, go pull down the tapestries, get them all. What else you need? Look at my, you have such nice clothing. Go get our clothes, empty out the wardrobe of my wife. I don't care what she's wearing. I don't care how much you spent. Go get the clothes, give it to this woman. They start giving silver and gold and clothes. The woman sees that the Spirit of God's hitting him, and he goes, take what you want. She goes, well, what else do you have? He says, well, I got a grandfather sundial. You want that? And they give him the grandfather sundial, everything he asks. And she goes, she starts seeing God's doing this. She goes, oh, okay, I'll take the gold out of your nose and off your toes. I want it all. And in that day, those men and women walked out with 400 years of back pay in one single night. God gave it all back because he said, I'd be Jehovah Jireh. You have reset your relationship to trust me and not mammon, not the world. He said, I'm going to bless you back with 400 years of back pay. Can you? And here we are biting our nails down to the quick going, are we going to survive this? We're going to survive this not because of the Dow Jones, not because of the Fed, not because of the government. And I pray for them to do the right things. I want them to, that God gives them wisdom. But they are not your source and they are not my source. I'm telling you, God is your provision. And if he can give 400 years of back pay back to people in one single night, I'm going to tell you, your house payment is not a big deal to him. Your car payment is not a big deal. Your retirement is not a big deal to him. You got to break off the stress and the worry thinking that the world is your provider and stand up and say, God is my Jehovah Jireh. He's my provision. You ought to praise him right there in your house. Amen. Man, think of that. But they were broke before. Why? Because they were breaking relationship with God. And one of the ways they did it was how they treated what God gave them. So think about this, everybody. God gives them back 400 years of back pay. Now, let me tell you, part of the silver and gold was because it was his covenant relationship. They had nothing. He had everything, and he gives it back to them. But here's what God told them to do with the silver and gold. He said, hey, listen, here's one thing I'd like for you to do. He said, I want you to build me a place where my spirit can dwell because I want to be with you. Do you get this? He wanted to tabernacle with them. He wanted to live with them. And so God tells him, would you do something for me? And he gives Moses instruction to build a tabernacle, the tent of meetings, where God would meet with them and give direction to them. And later they'd build Solomon's temple. You remember that? Now, when God told him to build that, listen, Solomon's temple was no cheap date, everybody. You know, according to the Illinois Society of Architects, in 1929, they believed Solomon's temple was worth over $87,212,210,240.52. I mean, that's a lot of money. That was in 1929. It doubles in value every 20 years since 1929. So they believed that that tent would have been valued at several billions of dollars. What I'm trying to tell you is God gave them silver and gold. He said, build me a place first where I can be with you. And when he told them to build this tent, it was not a tent provided by the Boy Scouts and decorated by the Girl Scouts. Okay, that's not what this was. This was an elaborate place, but it wasn't about the silver and gold. It was about them realizing he was the provision and what he wants is us more than anything, and we need to have him more than anything. Here's where the problem happened. Remember the story? They get out of the bondage. They're walking out with 400 years of back pay of silver and gold and cash. God took it from the Egyptians and gave back, says, I have reparation here. But then they used the covenant money, the silver and gold. And you remember when Moses was trying to hear from God to get instruction on Mount Sinai? You remember what happened when he came back in? He hears all this noise, and it's the sound of rebellion. And guess where they rebelled? They had taken the silver and gold and they made him a calf of Egypt, the gods of Egypt. And in that day, God just about destroyed them all with what he blessed them with. And could it be that God allows a collapse of financial things to show you have taken the things that I've used the world to bless you with and you have totally forgotten my presence, that I'm the provider and sending my word. So I'm going to let things collapse before you because you've taken the covenant things of God and you've attributed them to the things of Egypt. Look, I'm telling you, God doesn't mind you being blessed. Come on, you're sitting in there. I know everybody's grappling about quarantine, but you got a television with 150 channels. Most of them are all repeated stuff. You're sitting there, you got your Netflix, you got everything you want, and you're still not satisfied. God doesn't mind you being blessed with things. Doesn't mind you have a nice car. In fact, you got to learn to rejoice with other people when they do get blessed. When they're honest with God and they're blessing the work of God. You should rejoice. Don't get resent. Rejoice. Rejoice. But when we have taken our covenant blessing of God, the finances, God says, I'm going to show you what it's like when you don't recognize that I'm the one that gives you provision. And I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to people, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is too, Jesus said. And your treasure has been the world, climbing the corporate ladder, getting all you can, canning all you get, and attributing it to things of God, taking care of all my things, but forgetting God. But now God says, don't do it. I am giving you back all your blessing. Listen to this. I believe God wants to pour out the blessing on his people in these last days as a sign to the world. Church, I believe he wants to bless you. And I believe what he's getting ready to do is he's wanting to be in the place of reparations, where he is restoring the things we lost. And I'm not just talking about money. I believe he's getting ready to start restoring all the things you lost when you were living in sin. He's ready to give it all back. I believe he's ready to restore and bring reparation back to your marriage and give greater joy than ever before. I believe that he's ready to take what this Bible said when he told the people of Israel, what the locusts have eaten and the palmer worm have eaten and the canker worm has eaten, I'm going to restore. I believe he can restore what the coronavirus has been eating and even the economy for the people of God. Friends, I'm telling you, when you stay in relationship with him, even in your finances, I believe Proverbs 13:21, misfortune will pursue the sinner, but prosperity is the reward of the righteous. And I believe verse 22 that follows that. But the sinner's wealth is the reward of the righteous of God. So you need to go tell the devil, it's time for you to give back my family. It's time for you to give back my life. It's time to give back my health. It's time to give back my joy. God is in the reparation business when you reset with him. I believe that's what he's saying. When we come into communion, I want you to see this. And he's not just into reparation, he's into healing. He's into healing. Healing a lot of things. I want you to look at Psalm 105:37 again. I want you to see what it says. It said this. It says, God freed all the Hebrews from their slavery and sent them away laden with silver and gold. Underline this. And not even one was feeble on their way out. The scripture says not a weak one. Some of you have weak one. Some translation says not a sickly one. No one faltered when they left. I want you to think about this for a minute. 2 million people that were treated like a piece of meat and an animal. Think about this for a moment. They have no access to the medical world of that day. The Egyptians, outside of the Egyptian friends of Hermes that had compassion on the Jews, the world treated them like dirt. And if a slave dropped dead and died, they just reproduce them another slave. And 400-year cycle of that thing. How many sick folk do you think were in that 2 million-plus people? A lot. And the Bible says when they came up out of Egypt, there was not a weak one, a sick one, a feeble one among them, not one. What does that mean? It means they were healed when they walked out. There was restoration in their bodies when they walked out. And in my crazy mind, I always keep thinking, Lord, when did you do that? When did you heal these people? I mean, when did all that happen, Lord, that you healed people? 2 million people in one night. How did that happen? When did you do that, God? And there's only one time that it could have happened. Because the Bible instructs that everybody had to do it, from the smallest, the infant, to the eldest in Israel. Everybody had to do it. And there was one thing they had to do. They had to take that little lamb that lived in that house that shed its blood. They were supposed to roast it over fire on a spit. A spit was like a cross. And they cooked that lamb along with bitter herbs to remind them of their past pain. But everybody had to do one thing that God instructed them, and here's what it was. Everybody had to take a bite and eat the lambs. You remember that in scripture? He said you are to eat the lamb. You just don't hang around him, you bring him into you now. I believe there's only one time they could have been healed. It's the moment they pop that lamb into their mouth. There was nobody there to lay hands on them. There were no great healing evangelists, no healing pastors. There was no healing line, nobody getting greased up with anointing oil. It had to happen all at the same time, and they were all instructed, eat the lamb. Can I tell you, it's not time just to hang around, church. What I believe God is doing right now, the reason why we're even stuck in our homes is thank God for the church, because we need the body of Christ, the gathering together. But I believe what God is trying to say is even sometimes you can depend on, quote, the church to be your source when he says, I want to know you. And I want you to start consuming of me. I want you to get in worship and start worshiping right there with your families, the two or three of you. There's a power in the two or the three where he's gathered. And he starts revealing himself to you. You start eating lamb. You start tasting and see that the Lord is good. And this is why Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11:24, he said, take, eat. He said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Remembrance of what? That I'm a God that hears your repentance of cry, your cry of repentance. I'm resetting you. I'll take care of the enemy. He'll get his own retribution. I'm resetting. I want to reset my relationship with you and your relationship with other people. I can reset issues in your career, reset things in your body. And he says, I'm a God that's watching everything. I'm a God that rewards, and I'm going to bless you back. And I'm a God that's here to heal you and restore you. You can taste and see that he's good. So today, I know that y'all got it gathered around right there, and you may have your glass of water because you don't have grape juice, or you might have orange juice or apple juice there, symbolizing the emblem of the blood. And you might have a piece of bread there, or a cracker. But I want you to take that for a moment, because we're going to take communion with the power of understanding of what he did and what it means prophetically for us today. I love the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. He says, therefore, he says, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. And he says, a man, and by inference a woman as well, a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. Today, maybe it's time for a reset in your life. Some of you may be watching and you are questioning. You are in so much fear over what's going on right now. You need to be careful, but you can never be fearful when you're walking with Jesus, because perfect love casts out all fear. Your relationship, my trust is completely in him. But maybe you don't have that today. Before you take this, we don't practice closed communion. Only a certain group can get in. No, the ones who take communion, who understand what Jesus did at the cross to pay for their sins and to wipe it out once for all. And you say, Pastor Sam, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Right now. Right now. If you want to give your life to Jesus, right there in that chat room, I want you to raise your hand. Just raise your hand right now. You say, Pastor, I want to give my hands to Jesus right now. If you want to, just all over, wherever you are, just hit that right now. Just hit that right now. And one of the pastors, the prayer host, they'll be right there to minister to you. But I want to pray with you. If you're ready, maybe you ran from the Lord like Israel did, and God said, I want to bring you back. And he turned up the heat and turned their blessing into a burden. Maybe the reason some of this is happening is God is trying to get your attention that you need to trust me and not the world. I'm the one you need to trust. He said, Pastor, I'm ready for that. I want to lead you in this prayer right now. You ready? Just pray, because he's listening. He's been waiting for this. Just say this right now. Say, Lord Jesus, today I give my life to you. And I know that when you shed your blood, it was to give me a relationship with Father God. Lord, you are my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my Savior and my healer. You're not just my Savior, but you're my joy. You're my purpose, and you're my provision. So take all of my sins, Jesus. I lay them down. And today I'm following you from this day forward. You are the Savior, the Lord of my life. You are the Son of the living God who gives me eternal life. In Jesus' name, Amen. You ought to just get happy right there at home. You ought to celebrate right where you are. And right now, our pastors are right there to pray with you right now. They're celebrating you. Heaven's rejoicing. They're not clapping. They're applauding right now because you are a child of the Most High God because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. So now I want you to take the bread. Come on, take your bread. The apostle said this in verse 23 of that same chapter. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he broke it, he had given thanks, and he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your broken body that was for the healing of our heart, the healing of our mind, and the healing of our bodies. Jesus, right now in that home, I speak the healing power of Jesus Christ to come over relationships, over mind, over their spirit, over their soul, healing right now. And Jesus, I speak healing over their body. Hey, right now, if you're there, if there's somebody sick right there in the home right now, would you just put your hand on their shoulder right now? Just put your hand on the shoulder and we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal dad right now. Heal their daughter right now, Lord Jesus. Heal their son. Heal mom right now. Father, heal that body in the name of Jesus. Let miracles happen in the house just like it happened on that day in that house. Jesus, send your word and heal them right now. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Come on, let's take the bread together. We love you, Lord. We praise you for it. We thank you, Jesus. Now would you take the cup, take the juice, whatever you have there that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said in verse 25, the apostle said, "In the same way after supper, he took the cup saying, 'This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Lord, we know that this blood shows that Satan no longer has a grip on us. That Satan was crushed and defeated at the cross of Calvary, and you did it for us. And we know that your blood washes us clean, that we have relationship with you, Jesus. We may not be perfect, but you're the perfected one, and we run to you right now, God, for forgiveness. You're the one, Lord Jesus, that gives us right relationship with God the Father, and Satan no longer holds us as slaves, but he whom Jesus sets free is free indeed. We thank you for your blood. Come on, let's take together right there, would you? Join us. We bless you, Lord. Go ahead now, family, just start thanking. Go ahead and lift your hands right there. Start praising him right now and begin to glorify him right where you are. Start thanking him for the blood. Come on, start declaring, "Jesus, we give you..."